Good morning, everyone. Once again, as always, great to be with you this morning and looking forward to spending some time in God's Word. And as we did last week, we were looking at Luke in chapter 1, and I'm going to turn there again this morning as we've chosen over this Advent season to take a few thoughts that the Lord is leading in from the story of the progression, and as we look at the pursuing of the promise as God was providing and God was leading and acting. And so we're going to just take a moment to look back at where we've been and then step forward as to where we're going this morning as we look to the Lord. Let's pause for a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Lord, again, we thank you that we can praise you and honor you as we sing your praises. Thank you that as we pray now, again, we know that we are praying to a God who listens, a God who's active, a God who's present. And I thank you that during this time, once again, this Advent season, that we can look unto you, that in the midst of all the busyness and all the demands of the day and the holiday season, that we can take a moment to rest and think about what it is really all about. And I pray again with all the many distractions around us that today we'd be encouraged and reminded on where to keep our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. And for that, I thank you that today, not only have you provided this word for us, but you are writing it upon our hearts. You are convicting us. You are shining that light upon us that we might day by day be made more into your likeness. And I just pray that this morning again, we'd be open to you doing what you desire to do in our lives, pointing out those things that we need to bow our knee to you in, and also the areas in which today we need to again make you Lord of our lives. And so I thank you that we have this opportunity and trust again in you alone to be the speaker to our hearts, and that you would make your word come alive to us. And you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. For those who were here last week, we spent a few moments looking at Luke chapter 1, in which we looked at the fact that in Luke, there were two children promised. Zacharias and Elizabeth had a son promised, even in their old age, though she was barren. And Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph, had a son promised. One would be named John, a forerunner, one who is ready to pave the way for the one to come, born to Mary would come, Jesus, one who is going to save the world. And though two people received a promise in that time, last Sunday we looked at the fact that there were two distinct responses to the promise. And so, when Gabriel visited each, Zacharias doubted, though he had petitioned God for that very thing. Mary believed. And we talked about the fact that often we can believe that God is able to do something, yet somehow lack the faith that he actually will do it. There can be a great division between what you believe he can do and what you actually have faith he will do. Mary believed, whereas Zacharias doubted. And we ended on this note that as the angel came to Mary and she asked this question, how will this be done? The angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And whereas Mary was present and ready to allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow her, Zacharias, in that moment, was not ready to allow God's ability to overshadow his inability. When God said, you are going to have a child, he said, but we are old and my wife is barren. His inability to achieve what he had longed for and hoped for had still somehow seemed greater than God's ability, though the promise was standing right in front of him. And so today, as we look at that very thing, these promises, we know now we need to not just believe that God can, but have faith that he will. Because when God promises, God is always faithful, not just to promise, but to do. I want to build on a verse that in many ways is a life verse. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says this, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Another translation might put it this way: the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Isn't that great? What a promise. Not only has he called you today, but the one who called you will do it. One more, the Amplified Version, my favorite wordy of wordy translations, puts it this way: faithful is he who is calling you to himself, utterly trustworthy, and he will also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. And this morning, as we read the word, I'm reminded of this, that not only was there a promise that day, not only was there need to believe that God could do it, there was a step of faith now that God would do it. And as we take that step, we need to keep our eyes not only on the call, not only on the promise, but even more so on the one who's prepared to fulfill it. This is what it says in Luke chapter 1 in verse 39. It says, "At this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord.'" Did you see it? Blessed, not only one who carried the Lord, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her by the Lord. She believed not only that the Lord would speak, but that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord spoke. Mary replied and said this, Luke 1 and verse 46. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him." Again, as we read Luke 1 and verse 49, it's interesting that these words are spoken: the mighty one has done great things for me. It wasn't just promised. The child was not yet delivered, and yet in Mary's mind, it had already been what? Done. The Lord has done great things. In Zacharias' response to John's birth, and remember, a child destined to be, in the spirit of Elijah, a forerunner to this Savior who is to come. I want you to note his response in Luke 1 and verse 64. He too, in his praise of the Lord, says it this way. It says, "At once his mouth was opened," remember, "for his doubting the Lord, he was made mute. But after the child was born, his mouth was opened," verse 64, "his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them, and these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, 'What then will this child turn out to be?' For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people.'" Isn't that great? Here was the forerunner of the Redeemer, and yet as Zacharias praises God for the birth of his son John, he says this: "He has visited us and" what? "Accomplished redemption for his people." It was already done. It was already accomplished. the promiser was fulfilling his promise. And they knew. And this morning, as we look at these words at a time where I'm already be reminded of all the many distractions around us, and we've already been compiling the gift list and who we were supposed to get gifts from and forgot to get gifts for, and what child we forgot to get a gift for, and now the last minute panic is on. There are so many things trying to steal our gaze at the moment. And yet, as we look at these two women with two children promised, they were on two very different journeys, but both, in whatever fashion, needed to keep their eyes fixed in one place and one place alone. The author and perfecter. The one who was faithful not only to call, but to accomplish the call. Because if you look, you could see so many places where the distraction could take your gaze. Sure, Elizabeth, barren, old in age, now with child, and by all accounts in the scriptures, seemingly an unremarkable pregnancy, a birth at home. I mean, family were present, neighbors were present, rejoicing was present, celebration was present. And if there were ever a time when someone could say, if only, or I wish I, think about Mary's journey. Same God promises a child, and yet, by the way, you're a virgin, now your husband's going to divorce you, right? Controversy in her journey. Because her husband, betrothed, now was thinking of putting her away quietly as not to put her to shame. Now, the census is taken, and now when days are nearing birth, a journey all the way to another place. Not only a journey, but we can know and highlight probably their social cast in place, because when they get to the end of their journey, if they were of any high regard or wealth, we know there would have been a place for them. If they had family present, there probably would have been a place held for them. But no, they went to an inn, at which place there was no room. It's often put culturally, if there was any wealth or cultural standing, they would have made room. But no, she too was promised a child, and yet on her journey, not comfort, not home, not family, discomfort, loneliness, no home, no shelter, a manger. And if there were ever a time that your gaze could be stolen and set on, I wish, or if only my circumstances were like her circumstances. And I think more than ever, I'm being reminded that I cannot compare my journey to your journey. Nor can you compare your journey to anyone else's journey. Here's what we know. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Here's what you know. Jesus today is faithful to you for your journey. And he's going to lead you and bring you to places that others have not been brought. It was reminded to me this week that Elizabeth, as she came forward with her own blessing in the womb to say, Mary, blessed are you more than all women. And I just wonder how many places or points Mary might have thought, riding on her way to Bethlehem, ready to give birth, I don't feel very blessed right now. I don't feel very blessed. But when we keep our eyes on the author and finisher, the one who not only promises, but makes those promises come to pass, that is where our security lies. Interestingly enough, I was reading this week in the Gospel of John once more, and I want to remind you, after Jesus rose again from the dead, he met his disciples, and in a conversation with Peter, at the end of which, he reminds Peter of how he's going to die. He says to Peter, "Truly I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished." Speaking to a man who said, "I'll never deny you, Lord," and yet then denied him three times before his death. "You walked wherever you wished, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." It tells us this, he said this signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." I don't know how you'd react when someone were to tell you how you're going to die and glorify God. And perhaps in a way that seems not so glorifying to you in the way. Peter's response is interesting. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, following them, one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who's the one who betrays you?" If you remember from our time looking at Judas and that interaction, that was John who had done that. So Peter turns around as they're walking. Jesus tells him how he's going to die, how he's going to glorify God. He turns around and sees John walking. And here's what he says to Jesus. Seeing him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Isn't that a great question? By the way, Peter, you're going to be led where you do not want to go, and you're going to be put to death for my name, and you're going to glorify me. So you're telling me I'm going to be dying as a martyr. What about him? What's going to happen to him? Do you see what I'm saying? For whatever reason, in that moment, he could have had many thoughts. But his first thought was, okay, if I'm going to die like that, what's happening to this guy? Where are you going to lead him? If you're going to lead me down that path, is he going to? Listen to Jesus' response. John 21, verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Do you see? Jesus looked at Peter. And he needed Peter to know that God was going to be faithful to him for his call, his journey, and where God was preparing to take him. And that's where he needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. And what he wanted to do with John, whether he wanted to have him remain until he came, that was nothing for him to know. All he needed to know was what? Follow me. And I find often I can spend as much time seeking the Lord as I do longing before the Lord that my circumstances were different or I had somebody else's shoes on, right? It's easy at a time like this. I was at a cafe the other day and a guy walks in with a remote control car that had to be the biggest box I've ever seen. I don't think, it actually might have been a small car that a child could have ridden in. It was that big. But I could see the words remote control. So obviously I knew what it was. And it was the talk of everybody who came in because it was so, I don't even know why he had it in there. It was like he was bringing in his child's Christmas gift to flaunt for everybody. And it sat in the seat opposite him while he drank his coffee. But do you know, as you look around and you see people with gifts and you long, I wish I could buy my kids things like they buy their kids. I wish I had the money that they have. I wish I had a car like they drive. I wish I could afford the clothes that they wear. I wish I had the circumstances. I wish I had a job that provides like they're provided for. I wish I had the security that they feel secure with. I spend so much time longing for other people's circumstances that it actually steals my gaze and steals my view of the one who is actually seeing me through my own circumstances. Remember, we often pray to God that he would change my circumstances when God often is using the circumstances to change me. I often want God to save me from my circumstances when often God has put me in those circumstances to proclaim his name, to shine his light. I'm being filled with prayers to get out of something that God has specifically put me into. And today I'm reminded of this, that in Mary's mind, it had already been done. Thank you, God. It didn't matter where the journey took her, the housing she was in, the bed or the manger, or wherever her head may lay, that the baby would be born. The God who promised was faithful. And today, as we enjoy the journey, we need to keep our eyes fixated, not on changing our circumstances, but on the one who's promised to keep us, to mold us, to shape us, to move us, and to make us in the midst of them. That's the key. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, he says this way, "This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who've believed, for our testimony to you was believed. To this end also we pray for you, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." What was the call? My prayer is that God will fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith. That though you are suffering, and it says that suffering which they endure is an indication of God's righteousness, that they are considered worthy of the kingdom of God. And I think this week that definition, worthy, has been flipped upside down, just like that word blessed. Mary, you are the most blessed among women. Oh, by the way, take a journey while you're pregnant. Have a baby in a barn. Do you know what I mean? Not my definition of blessed. Here's the blessing. Considered worthy to have the kingdom of God displayed in you. And you can only have the kingdom of God displayed in you when your eyes are fixed on the only one who can actually display it. The God who promised it, who will perfect it, who will not only keep you, but will keep it, his glory, showing and shining. I want to read Psalm 139 for you. Because as we look at our journey this morning, we look around this room, we are so many different people, so many different paths, different occupations, different stages in life, different ages, different backgrounds, different sizes of families. And yet one God has promised one thing to us all, that he is faithful. And that today, if we would accept it, he will save us, he will empower us, he will equip us. And here's what he says about that journey through David. Psalm 139. "Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Today, as we go out those doors, I'm reminded of this, that today I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That he knows me. When I sit down, when I rise up, every thought he knows from afar. That today he has my path in his hands. He ordains my days. And even if I were to wish, I could not escape his presence. My eyes are affixed to a God who is not only faithful to promise, but faithful to complete that promise. And I hope that in the midst of this crazy Christmas rush that's going on, we could stop and take that moment. That whether it's the season, the decorating, the parties, the meetings, the dinners, the whatever, everything has an opportunity to steal our gaze from the one who will see you through it all, the source of life. We can believe that God can do things, but fail to have that faith that he will do it. And when you come full circle in these who not only saw God's promises from afar, but received them, you begin to see that subtlety in the depth of their heart. God didn't just promise it. In their minds, he had already accomplished it. And today, as we go out these doors, I wonder that very thing. What today, if we were to ask the Lord, is stealing our gaze? And it could be for many of us just the journey itself, the trials, the envy of seeing someone else's journey that doesn't look like ours, that doesn't seem as hard as ours, that seem to have more than we have. And today, we're not called to be like anyone else. We're called to come, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our status, regardless of our income, regardless of our level of health, regardless of all these things, to come to the one who strengthens us in the midst of it. To come to him alone. And I hope this week that as you go out these doors, God would remind you of these things. That today, the Mighty One has done great things for me and his holy name. What has he done? What has he already accomplished? You may believe he can, but you may have stopped short of the faith that he will. God has said, there are many sins that entangle you. I will always provide a way of escape. I believe God can. Do you have the faith in the week to come that he will provide that way of escape? We know a God that has promised, listen, attach yourself to me and I will give you peace, patience, kindness, love, self-control. And in a time where I'm struggling with sugar cookies and a lack of self-control, do we believe in a God who's not only promised self-control, but that he actually what? will give you self-control when you need it. To refrain from, to do, to be what you need to be, to go where you need to go, to do what you need to do. That at a time when it seems like panic is all around, politically, financially, in so many arenas, and we have a God who's promised patience. You may believe he can, but if you come to the point where you're ready to put your faith in a God who will, in the midst of it all, what's got your gaze? Your inability, like Zacharias when he received the promise? Because that only leads us and distracts us from God's ability. What's got your gaze? Someone else's walk and what seems the ease of their days and their ways? Or your eyes fixed on the Lord, who will give you the strength you need for where he's brought you, where he's called you, and the relationships he's placed you? Are you praying and longing for courage in the midst of fear? Are you praying that the circumstances that give you fear will be gone? Or that God will give you that heart of courage in the midst of them? That he would make you a light in the midst of the darkness? Often the darkness flees, not because the circumstances change, but because he allows his light to shine brighter in you. Today, whatever your journey, whatever place you've been put by the Lord, don't look around and say, what about them? Oh, it's easy for them. Look to the Lord and know that he is faithful. Know that he has you. Know that he'll keep you. And he'll take you to places perhaps you'd never choose to go if you had a choice. But he'll take you to even better places, far more than you'd ask or imagine. Because there he'll do things you would never ask or imagine, because you didn't think they were possible. And apart from him, they're not. Because it's there when we're consumed with not just the gifts, but the gift giver. There we'll begin to see what true reality and life looks like. And that's been the challenge for me this week, is what it means to keep our eye not on the gift, but the giver. Not on the blessings, but the blesser. And to look and see that the many promises of God in him through Jesus are yes and amen. And I hope as we go out these doors, you'd be reminded of that, as God subtly, with that whisper in your heart, reminds you of both who he is and what he's doing in your heart today. You choose faith. Not only to believe him, but to have faith in him. That act of trust that says, yes, Lord, take me, do it. Overshadow me and see to it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this morning, as we open your word, we can be reminded we're all on a journey, and that as Mary journeyed, that journey, though blessed beyond measure, did not make the path smooth, did not make life easy. In some ways, you could think it got harder. And yet, as life got harder, you gave more strength. You are faithful to equip us for what you've called us to. You've already defeated the darkness. And today we're called to just simply walk in the reality of it. But we can't without you. Thank you that today you not only promise, but you stay with us. You are faithful to the end. And I just pray that each of us on our journey would today be drawn into that conversation with you in the depths of our heart, soul, and mind, in which you can talk, speak, and remind us of where it is we have yet to bow the knee, get rid of the many things stealing our gaze, and keep our eyes fixed on you, where we can't, fixed to the only one who can. Thank you for all that you are, Lord, in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.